Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope everyone's week has gone off to a really great start. You know what's crazy? I realized that we are almost to the end of April and we're beginning May, which is crazy to me because to me, 2024 has went by already super fast. It's crazy to think that we're already pretty much halfway through the year. It feels like New Year's Eve was literally like 2 weeks ago, but to see how everything is kind of unfolded right now, 2024 has been amazing. It's definitely been a journey. I hope that everyone's journey has been pretty well, to say the least, just like mine. But yeah, I mean, right now, you know, I'm enjoying some playoff basketball right now. For all my NBA fans, let me know who your favorite team is. Let me know, you know, who you're rooting for in this postseason, whether it's the Nuggets, who are the defending champs, looking to repeat. The Boston Celtics are looking for their first championship as a unit, or whoever, the Lakers or the Suns or the Timberwolves or whoever, man. Just let me know, man. But without further ado, man, we're not here to talk NBA. We're here to talk Florida State basketball. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the women's side. And we have some breaking news that actually just took place Monday, which is yesterday. And I'm really happy for it because obviously Florida State, you know, since the season ended, you know, we've been trying to land some key transfers. We obviously tried Jaleah Williams, which I'll be honest, that still kind of breaks my heart that she chose Louisville over Florida State. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to root for Jaleah either way, and I definitely wish her the best on her new journey, you know, as far as staying in the ACC, you know, and playing for a really good program. We're still looking for answers as far as what's next for Ruby Whitehorn and her journey. She came to visit Florida State about a couple weeks back. Seems like things have went pretty well, but at the end of the day, she is still undecided on where she will further her college basketball career. So until then, we'll wait. Hope that it's in Garnet and Gold, but we'll have to wait and see. But we did land a key transfer who I'm really excited about. A lot of people may not be familiar with her because she played at the JUCO level. And that's the beauty of playing at the JUCO level, because, you know, a lot of players are not going to get that opportunity to play in Division I right away. So they'll utilize that JUCO scene for 1, 2, or even 3 years to be able to showcase their talent, be able to elevate their game, continue to grow and progress as a player on both ends of the floor. And once they utilize that, you know, they'll start drawing those attractions from Division I schools, you know, who come out to see them play. And that's what lands some opportunities. And that's what happened with this particular player right here, coming, or a Brazilian native coming out of Gulf Coast State College. We have Hayani Dias dos Santos, who is a competitor. I've had the luxury, because I mean, she literally played college basketball right where I live at, in Panama City, Florida, which is literally like an hour and a half away from Tallahassee. So I had the luxury of being able to watch her play a few games, and I love this pickup for Florida State. Like I said, she's a competitor. She's a great scorer. She's a great defender. She's very coachable, and like she's just a player that provides tremendous energy, and that's something that any team will want on their team. It doesn't matter about how talented you are. It doesn't matter about if you're going to hit a game-winning shot or if you're going to make, like, you know, just like a highlight play. Can you bring that hustle? Can you bring that passion on the floor? And that's exactly what she brings to the table. Played one season at Gulf Coast, averaged nearly 12 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 3.2 assists, and shot 36% from three. She also had a couple of 30-point games and also some 25-point games as well. So she's clearly, the stat sheet has shown that she could score at the highest level. And I think when you put her with this Florida State team, and just with her ability to take the pressure off of a lot of our key scorers, whether it's Taniya Latson, Amaria Gordon, Michaela Timpson, or anybody else, you know, that's going to be really huge for this team. So it seems like her visit went really well. Coach Wyckoff made a statement saying that she's happy to have her on the team and that she can't wait to see what's next for her as a Florida State Seminole. So it seems like things have gone really well. And I think this is only the beginning as far as us landing some transfers. I know that, you know, in the beginning it didn't work out too well, but I think that this is going to be a key one. And for those who may not be familiar with Hayani's game, I would advise you possibly find some highlights on YouTube. I may also post some clips as well on my Twitter/X page. So make sure to be on the lookout for that at Nick Andre ATR. Please make sure to follow me. That's a nice little plug right there. But she's the real deal. And once you see her play, if you haven't had a chance to see her play, then you know why Florida State wanted to recruit her. You know, she played for a really great Gulf Coast State college team who was really one of the best schools in JUCO basketball, and she fit in well in the backcourt next to Aaliyah Bartholomew, which is another player people need to look at as well, because she is a tremendous all-around scorer. Remember the name Aaliyah Bartholomew. Definitely look her up as well. But you know, as for Hyani, she's going to fit with this team like a glove. And I got some questions as well, asking, will she start right away, or will she come off the bench? You know, that's answers that I do not have. I would definitely have to ask the coaching staff. But I mean, it's still way too early. I mean, we're still at like towards the end of April. You know, the season doesn't start till early November, so we still have a long time to figure that out. But trust me, no matter what role she's going to play in, she's going to thrive in that role. I definitely believe that wholeheartedly. And there's, like I said, there's a reason why she's going to fit well with this Florida State team. Even if she doesn't start right away, you know, there could be an opportunity for her to possibly land a starting spot either midway through the season or even possibly after this upcoming season. You know, we saw the same thing with Snoop Turner. Snoop Turner did not start the season right away. You know, that was Alexis Tucker's spot. But then by like around mid-January, Coach Wyckoff made that adjustment, put in Snoop Turner at the starting power forward right next to KK Timpson in the front court, and it made a huge difference for the team. So it's all about what's working right now or what's working in that moment. So at the end of the day, you know, will she start right away? I can't call that. So if she doesn't, I don't want people to be surprised, but you know, you just never know. You just never know what happens. So shout out to Hyani. I'm definitely happy for her and this new opportunity playing for Florida State, and I can't wait to see what she brings this upcoming season. As we transition, we have to talk about Taniya Latson. Why? Well, I mean, there's a million reasons to talk about Taniya Latson. I mean, she's just an unbelievable talent, and she's going to continue to excel as her college career continues. Excuse me. But she's representing Florida State at Kelsey Plum / Under Armour, excuse me, Plum Dog Camp, and which is taking place at IMG Academy, and it features a lot of women's basketball's top college players right now. We mentioned Taniya, but they also include Raven Johnson, Malaysia Fo Wiley, Saniya Rivers, Nika Mule, De'Asia Fair, Georgia Amore, and there are just so many others that are literally at this camp and are playing at the highest level. First and foremost, shout out to Kelsey Plum for even, you know, creating this opportunity for young women. You know, it just really gives these young women the opportunity to obviously play in the offseason, being able to expand their game, but also learn from one of the best. You know, you talk about, like, Kelsey Plum is literally exceeded at every single level that she's played at. You know, obviously, the leading scorer in college basketball before Caitlin Clark surpassed that this past season. And then, of course, you transition to the WNBA, where she's won two championships with the Las Vegas Aces. She's won an All-Star Game MVP. So, you know, who else would you want to learn from other than Kelsey Plum? You know, Kelsey Plum is a lot of people's favorites because of the passion that she plays on the court. You know, she plays with tremendous passion. You know, she plays hard on both ends of the floor. There are some times when Kelsey Plum can be a little sloppy with the basketball, and she can be a little over aggressive at times. But at the end of the day, you know, you love that hustle and that tenacity that she plays with. But it seems like the camp went really, really well. For anybody that's listening, I would love to see the scrimmages. Like, somebody needs to post those clips, because I'm sure with all the cameras there, with all of the media people there, with all the photographers there, the videographers there, I'm sure somebody has some footage of those scrimmages, because I'm sure those are some highly intense games. And I know that they may not mean much to some people, but as a basketball fan like myself, I would love to watch it, because you talk about, you're featuring some of women's college basketball's best players in one setting. You know, we don't really get to see that a lot. We don't get to see that a lot, honestly. I mean, we see some of it during the NCAA tournament, but we're talking about all of women's college basketball's top players, or some of women's basketball's top players, all in one setting. It's almost like, in a way, I remember watching The Last Dance, and this was around a time when Michael Jordan was filming Space Jam, and you saw Reggie Miller pull up to the setting. You saw Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, and others. Obviously, they were in the movie, but even after the movie, they ended up having a few scrimmage games. And like that was, I mean, even like in the small footage that we saw in that documentary, you know, that was fun to watch as well. And to think, you know, if they had smartphones back then, I want to say that was like 1995, 1996. So it's like, if they had smartphones at that time, like, man, I would have loved to see that film as well. So whoever is listening, man, like, somebody please post those clips, because, you know, we really need them. But shout out to Tanaya Lassa for even getting invited. You know, it's an indication that she just continued to progress year in and year out. You know, like I've been mentioning, you know, she's a sophomore, and for her to have all of the accomplishments that she has had, it's just been incredible. You talk about winning freshman of the year as a freshman, being able to surpass 1,000 points as a sophomore, being one of the best players in the ACC. You know, when you talk about a competitive ACC at that, you know, people don't understand how competitive the ACC is. And I get it. You know, when it comes to women's basketball, the SEC has been dominant. Obviously, they featured the last three championships, South Carolina winning twice, and then, of course, LSU winning last year in 2023. The Pac-12 was dominant before they're no longer a conference anymore. And then you got other ones like Big Ten. You got Big East as well. But the ACC has been superior. And there's been so many great players that are featured in that conference. Tanaya Latson is one of them. Hannah Hidalgo is one of them. De'Asia Fair, when she played at college, she was one of them. You know, there's just so many great players and just great teams in that conference. So, you know, for Tanaya to be a standout in the ACC, it just continues to show her greatness. And I'm really happy, you know, just to be able to see her growth, just to be able to see her continue to progress year in and year out. And I'm telling y'all, man, junior season, Tanaya is going to be something special to watch. She's going to be something special to watch, you know, especially now, you know, with her having now an NCAA tournament appearance, you know, because people forget she didn't play her freshman year because she got injured. She was able to play this past year against Alabama, unfortunately took the loss. So, you know, now that she has that under her belt, now let's see what's next for her. But no, like, definitely shout out to Tanaya Latson for being able to represent Florida State at this event. Shout out to Kelsey Plum, shout out to Under Armour for this event as well, to be able to have a showcase for young college women to be able to display their game and be able to excel, to be able to excel at the next level as well. So I'm really happy to see, you know, this event taking place. Now let's talk about Sarah Bajetti. And yes, we're going to continue to talk about Sarah Bajetti, even though she's technically no longer a Florida State Seminole anymore on the basketball team. We can still highlight her because she just continues to keep accomplishing things even after her career. Sarah Bajetti won the Golden Knoll winner for women's basketball. It's just an indication of just her greatness. You know, it's just an indication to everything that she gave to Florida State. You know, it was just the perfect situation for her to come to Florida State. And I actually read something, I didn't even know this, but I don't know if she originally chose Florida State before she went to Arizona State, but she definitely showed some interest. Obviously played one season at Arizona State as a freshman. Wanted a better and bigger opportunity, so decided to transfer over to Florida State. And then after that, you know, the rest was history. You know, Sarah may not have the accolades like many other college athletes have, but, you know, for anybody who watched Florida State throughout her entire career, like, they understand her importance to this team. You know, and I've highlighted it on just literally so many episodes and just so many articles. You know, she's personally, if you ask me, one of the best on-ball defenders in the country. Whenever she was playing, tremendous ball pressure. You know, she doesn't mind getting physical. She doesn't mind, you know, just hounding the ball handler, you know, really just hounding a lot of teams' top scorers. She does not mind getting after on defense, and that was always her bread and butter throughout the course of her college career. And that energy that she provided on the floor defensively rubbed off on the rest of her teammates, because I feel like when Sarah was able to set the tone, it definitely ignited the rest of the team. And you saw that as well. Like, you saw that throughout the course of even this past season, even in past years as well. So, and then on top of that, scoring too. I mean, Sarah was also a really great scorer as well. You know, at times, you know, she could be very efficient from the 3-point line, and she could really torch the defense from the outside. She was relentless when it came to driving and attacking the basket. So Sarah was just a great two-way player when you look back at her career. And I think because of that, you know, Florida State fans will always appreciate what she was able to bring to the table. So for her to be able to win this award, it really should not be a surprise to many, because she deserves it wholeheartedly. It's just an unfortunate situation to watch how her career ended, obviously, with Florida State losing the first round against Alabama. And I'll be honest, even myself, I'm still kind of ticked off at that game because I feel like both teams were really evenly matched. And, you know, give credit to Alabama. You know, they had a really strong third quarter in that matchup, and they were just able to prevail. And even when Florida State tried to make a comeback in the fourth quarter, it was just too little too late. You know, Alabama, they automatically had momentum. But that was really a game for us to win, honestly, you know, when you look back at it, especially considering that Alabama's best player did not have her best game and she was in foul trouble. So, like, that was kind of like a almost like a grab one for us, but unfortunately it didn't turn out that way. But at the end of the day, even besides us losing the first round, you know, like, the career of Sarah Bajetti should be remembered forever. It should be remembered forever. I might be biased saying this, but I wouldn't even mind seeing number four hanging in the rafters of the Donald Tucker Center. I wouldn't mind seeing it. Now, would it happen? Maybe, maybe not. But at the end of the day, you know, I believe, like, if it were to happen, I would be 100% happy with it. But at the end of the day, I will always highlight Sarah Bajetti just because of her greatness and just because of what she provided to Florida State. And her impact will be remembered amongst all Florida State fans forever. Moving on, and we have another recruit who was given another offer. Not for this upcoming season, but in the near future, for a class of 2025, Nyla Brooks, who many women's basketball fans should know about her. But if you don't, let me give you a little bit of a background for you guys. This is a great all-around player, tremendous size, has tremendous length. You know, one thing that stands out about me is how she's able to operate in the mid-range, you know, inside the three-point line, with her ability to face up, knock down shots in the mid-post, being able to play with her back to the basket. She also has really good playmaking tendencies as well. She has great ball handling ability, can pretty much run the offense if needed be, can run the break, you know, can pass really well. And there's a reason why she's one of the top players in her class. She originally committed to Tennessee, but considering everything that happened, especially with the departure of their head coach, Kelly Harper, she decommitted, and now she is still looking for a new destination to play her college career. But aside from Florida State, there was other recruits. Virginia Tech stepped in, Georgia, Arizona, Ohio State, and there's just so many others as well. This will be a big acquisition. This will be a big signing if Florida State is able to get her, and it would definitely help this team take things to the next level. You know, I'm just thinking about her now. She is really special. She is a really special all-around talent that I don't think anybody needs to pass up on if you have a chance to grab her. I don't know if she's visited Tallahassee yet. I don't believe that she has. I think the coaching staff has just reached out to her, but I hope that she visits Tallahassee very, very soon if she hasn't yet. You know, great program, great school, great teammates, great coaching staff, great environment. Pretty much is a great all-around environment. So, I mean, and I'm not trying to knock any other program. I think other programs as well have really great environments as well. But, you know, I mean, why not? Why not North Florida? Why not the Panhandle? You know, that's just what I got to say. But, no, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, this is Nyla Brooks's decision on what she wants to do, furthering her basketball journey, transitioning from the high school level to the college scene. So whatever situation fits right for her, I hope that she makes the best decision for herself. I hope that she definitely has a conversation with her family as far as what to do and what's the best decision for her. And at the end of the day, if it's Florida State, you know, we'll be happy to have you, and we'll greet you with open arms. And before we get out of here, the last topic that we got to discuss, we have to talk about a former Florida State great who just continues to excel at the professional level, excuse me, which is Natasha Howard, who recently just won her first EuroLeague championship. She was named finals MVP after averaging 19 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Greatness just continues to follow Natasha Howard. You know, she had a great career in her 4 seasons at Florida State, held the record for most double-doubles in a season before Mikayla Timpson surpassed her this past season. And winning just continues to follow her. You know, she's got 3 WNBA championships. She's got one Turkey championship. She's won a WNBA Defensive Player of the Year award. So greatness just continues to follow her. winning just continues to follow her, and she just continues to elevate and just exceed her game at the next level. And as she's approaching her 11th WNBA season with the Dallas Wings, I think she's only going to continue to excel at the next, moving forward. She's a great all around forward, you know, with the ball handling ability, with the ability to space the floor and knock down 3-point shots. She could play in the post. You know, she could just do a multitude of things. And Florida State fans are already familiar with that because they were able to see that throughout her career. And just to be able to see her just continue to expand her game, it's just been really fun to watch. So shout out to Natasha Howard. For those who are W fans, the Dallas Wings should have a pretty good year. I know that people are talking about, obviously, the two-time defending champs, Las Vegas Aces, the New York Liberty, who were the runner-ups in the finals. You got Seattle with new acquisitions, Neko Ogwumike and Skylar Diggins-Smith surrounding Jewel Lloyd. And then, of course, you still have the Connecticut Sun with Alyssa Thomas, DeWanna Bonner, others. But the Dallas Wings should be a pretty good team this year. Natasha Howard obviously is a big piece with that. But then you talk about also Satu Sabally, who won Most Improved Player this past year. We already know what Arike Ogunbowale is going to be able to bring to the table offensively. So this team should be really good. And I think, you know, as a key veteran on that team, somebody who's won at the highest level, Natasha Howard is going to continue to be a huge focal point within that team, both on court and off the court. So I'm really excited to see what unfolds for the veteran Natasha Howard as she enters her 11th season in the WNBA. But that's going to wrap up this episode. Once again, thank you guys for listening in. I appreciate all the feedback and everything that you guys and all the support that you guys have given me. Make sure to subscribe on anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. Make sure to follow myself at NickAndreATR on Twitter/X, and you'll be able to see a lot of my content covering Florida State and then also just covering basketball in general. I'm a hoops head overall, man, so I always got content rolling. Make sure to follow my co-host Austin as well at EasyVZNG, and make sure to check out his content covering the men's side of things. But once again, thank you guys for listening in, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.